drinking something through a straw, ideally, or just the act of swallowing. In older kids and adults, chewing gum will help as well, and that prevents ear pain. Hi everyone, a long time no see or talk. We are coming to you live from Athens, Greece, at the tail end of our family vacation this summer. And due to the fact that it's our family vacation, we decided that we would share some tips and tricks that we use to stay healthy while vacationing, ourselves included, as well as our families. So in our case, our two boys, what we've done to prepare before traveling, what we do while traveling, and what we do after traveling. We also were inspired because a lot of our patients, this being the travel season, have asked us, what do they need to do to make sure they're healthy while vacationing? So we thought we'd share our own tried and true tips. Oh, and by the way, I'm Dr. Jenny, if you've forgotten us since it's been so long. I'm an internal medicine and pediatric doctor, double board certified, and the co-founder of Circe Health. So hopefully enough qualifications to give you some good advice today. And this guy over here.
I'm Ajoy Prabhu. I have a background in research pathology, and I've done training in lifestyle medicine. And we're here to give you the best that we know of as far as evidence-based disease prevention and treatment. So let's start. Where should we start?
So let's start with prevention, because that seems like the logical way to go. And if you know anything about me, you know I'm a huge proponent of vaccines. Vaccines are still important. They haven't gone by the wayside, especially for traveling. And because vaccines take some time to be effective, it's important to let your doctor or your travel medicine specialist know at least 2 weeks, preferably a month ahead of time, where you're going, for how long you're going, so they can advise you properly. So obviously it depends which location you're traveling to and what time of year you're traveling there, if and any vaccines you need. Of course, we always recommend the usual childhood and routine vaccinations, including, at least in the US and India, hepatitis B, hepatitis A. Typhoid is not routine in America, but it is routine in India. So, and in other parts of the world, it's probably not as routine as in more tropical countries. That's a very important one, again, depending on where you're traveling to. Also, in addition to prevention with a jab, with vaccines, there's also oral vaccines and also oral antimalarials and oral, sometimes antibiotics to prevent infection. So if you're going, again, to a tropical or subtropical country, this is an important discussion to have. And we're obviously happy to help with that.
I want to add, since you're constantly thinking about the kids part.
This is for adults too.
Yes, exactly. No, I know. But you're thinking about kids in the sense that you said, oh, for children, we always recommend. But even adults nowadays, we've been recommending. And we ourselves have been taking shots before heading out. One of the ones is flu. It's becoming, it's not as bad as COVID, but it's becoming pretty bad that people have to be hospitalized for things. So
actually, I think it is as bad as COVID now. In fact, worse in some places. Right now, if you at least look at the Western Hemisphere, the Americas, if I were to rank COVID versus influenza, I'd say I'm more worried about influenza as a medical practitioner than COVID in most cases. So Ajoy's right. I mean, influenza vaccine is very important. And again, you have to look at the pattern of when flu is prevalent, depending on where you're traveling to. For instance, in India, this is peak flu season right now during monsoon, but US is not until October, November, December. So of course, it depends where you're traveling.
Yeah.
But yes, he's right. I mean, adults, just as important as kids, need prevention.
Now that we're talking about prevention, something that's, this is nothing to do with the medicine as such, but healthcare. Talking about prevention, since we're talking about before we even start taking the flight out, one of the things that we routinely do is get traveler's insurance, because not everywhere will you be able to want to just kind of go in there and roll out your credit card and pay for, God forbid, any hospitalization and stuff like that. So for that, we recommend going to your travel agent and asking them for coverage, or
you can go online.
And we use visitors coverage. They're not paying coverage. Us or anything. I'm just telling you because we just use them all the time. It's something called
Visitors coverage.
Visitorscoverage.com, I believe.
Very reasonable prices,
yeah.
Comprehensive coverage. And I can tell you, unfortunately, I had to use them once. Yeah. I was seen in the emergency room for an unfortunate viral illness. I needed IV fluids because I was quite sick. We didn't have to pay a single penny thanks to that. Otherwise, especially if any of you are from the U.S., you know how expensive medicine is out of pocket there. So it saved, you know, a lot of money, a lot of hassle. Yeah. And I didn't have to do anything special except show them the email. Yeah. So yeah, that's very important. Mm-hmm. Also, there's, when he says traveler's insurance, he means medical insurance. Mm-hmm. But of course, you might want insurance for your belongings mm-hmm. and that sort of thing too. Also, insurance, I believe there's some policies that cover if there's a natural disaster, mm-hmm. if you're going on a cruise and there's a hurricane.
Yeah.
If you're going skiing and there's an avalanche, I don't know.
Yeah. I know we are moving away from medicine, but we just wanted to mention this to you. What else do we do just before we travel? Think about, like, can we add more things that, for example, our little goodie bag?
Yeah. I mean, so that kind of falls along the line of making a list. I'm all about lists. I always talk about how I have ADHD and lists are my favorite thing in the world. That's how I survive. So I actually have on my phone in the notes section a checklist of travel items that we pack. And
each time it's the same. And then some others are different.
Yeah, sometimes depending what season it is, where we're going, we add and subtract things. You know, if we're going somewhere warm, we don't bring bathing suits and vice versa.
And as far as medicines are concerned, we have some show and tells. I know this is a podcast, but we are also trying to record it. So in case we put this up, we can tell you.
It's probably one of the most common questions we get asked.
Yeah,
like either we're going as a family, what medicine should we bring? Or I'm sending my child on a school trip and what medicine should I send with them? Yep. So this is Odomus. Again, none of these brands we're affiliated with, but this is a mosquito repellent. Obviously, if you're going to a tropical country, it's very important. But also remember, it's not just tropical countries. So if you go to the northeastern United States in July, of course, it's not a tropical country, but you will get eaten alive by mosquitoes. So just check the time of year, and I'm sure that's something that can be Googled. So there are various mosquito repellent options. We prefer Odomus because it's natural. Citronella is the main ingredient. Of course, you can use barriers instead of something like a chemical. You can just put long sleeve shirts on and hats. But of course, the mosquitoes will find it anywhere. Yeah. And always ask your pediatrician for about infants and mosquito repellent.
Next one. What's this?
Next is sunscreen. Again, similar to mosquito repellent, best option is to cover up with SPF protective clothing, hats, sunglasses, that sort of thing. But if you can't or you want to be super safe, then you can use, again, sunscreen. You should only use it in ages 6 months and up. Any baby under that age, always talk to your pediatrician about their specific situation, but you can use more coverage, hats and umbrellas, etc. And everyone needs sunglasses. Always remember to protect your eyes.
Okay, next one. What's that?
These are sanitizing wipes. So you can get wipes. You can use the hand sanitizing gel. See a lot of people, ourselves included, when you get on an airplane, you can clean off the seats and the tray tables just to feel more comfortable. And these are very convenient, especially if you're out hiking somewhere and you don't have the ability to wash your hands. At least you can sanitize them. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we don't have here physically is masks. So if you're doing air travel at this point in time, it is probably fine not to wear a mask on the plane itself. However, we would probably recommend wearing a mask in the airport or in any other crowded place where there isn't good ventilation, because actually airplanes have much better ventilation and circulation than an airport. This is soap.
Yeah.
So packing, depending on where you're going, you may need to pack your own soap. So if you can get travel-sized soaps, body washes, shampoos, conditioners, do you want to show? You can also get refillable ones, which is nice. So this is one that we just bought, but then these are refillable shampoo and conditioner. So you don't have to buy something separate. You just use what you do at home. And these are airplane volume compliant also. Because remember, they will check 100 mLs or less.
And then spares for your lenses and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, so any medicine that you take normally slash contacts, glasses, things that are prescribed to you, you should always have extra. So if you have asthma, bring an extra inhaler. If very important one, if you have an anaphylactic allergy to medicine or food, please bring your EpiPen. If you know your child gets or yourself gets environmental allergies, bring antihistamines like Zyrtec or Cetirizine. Any other prescription medicines for your diabetes, or make sure you carry a physical prescription, because some countries require, you know, if you're going through customs or immigration, they're like, hey, where's your actual prescription? So make sure your doctor prints that out for you. Medicine. We talked about antipyretics, so anti-fever medicines, acetaminophen or paracetamol, ibuprofen or Motrin, Advil, there's paracetamol, Motrin, liquids for kids, tablets for young adults and adults. Our favorite thing, probiotics. Ideally, if you can get a local probiotic as soon as you land or arrive in your specific location. This is one of the biggest prevention. We'll talk more about traveler's diarrhea later, but preventatively, if you start taking a probiotic in the first couple of days before you travel, as well as soon as you arrive in your destination, try to get a local probiotic. So these are both local Indian probiotics, because that's where we live. But right now we're in Greece, and we've bought some local Greek probiotics just to make sure that the flora that we're ingesting from food is matching the flora that's inside our bellies. And that is, of course, prevents against GI illnesses, but also prevents against respiratory illnesses, helps you sleep better, the list goes on. All right, so that's a general idea. So things for fever, things for pain. One important thing that we forgot is a mini first aid kit. So this is our little first aid kit in here. We have some antibiotic ointment, we have bandages, and we have, which may not be easy for you to get, but I have access to Steri-Strips, which are little tiny bandages that can help keep a wound closed until you can get a doctor to see you. Of course, we always recommend still seeing a doctor, but this is first aid, first on the scene. And then pain medicines are in here also. One thing I do want to talk about that is, I guess, a bit controversial is the carrying of antibiotics on vacation with you, or if you're sending it with your child. So I don't have a problem per se with taking antibiotics along, or either sending them with your loved one or taking them with you if you're all going together as a family. But we do recommend that you at least consult a doctor, whether via telemedicine, via phone, via WhatsApp, before starting the antibiotic. Because 8 to 9 times out of 10, if you have traveler's diarrhea, the best thing to do is supportive care, meaning reduce what you're eating, increase what you're drinking, increase probiotics, rest and hydrate. Sometimes, in some cases, with certain types of diarrhea, antibiotics can actually make it worse and send you to the hospital. So it's very important to talk to a doctor before starting an antibiotic for traveler's diarrhea. Same thing goes for, cough and cold. Again, 9.5 times out of 10, you don't need an antibiotic. There's other things we can help you with. But it's always important to have the medicine for ease of access. So there are different types of antibiotics that we recommend for different locations of traveler's diarrhea. So one may work, for example, azithromycin might work for one part of the world, whereas ciprofloxacin may work better for another part of the world. Or if you have a certain health condition or you're on a certain regular medicine and you take ciprofloxacin, that's a big drug interaction potential. The list goes on. So from drug interaction reasons, side effect reasons, travel area dependent reasons, and safety reasons, it's really important to check with a doctor before starting any antibiotic, as there are a lot more. So let's just move on to the next subject, which is healthy nutrition and staying hydrated while traveling. Do you want to kind of go through the steps of travel, I suppose?
Steps of travel. I mean, I would suggest very strongly that if you look at the infections that take place all around the world, as far as food poisoning is concerned, there are two main sources of food poisoning that happen when you're traveling. Why it happens, I'll cover in a second. But the main reason why you get food poisoning is because the bacteria were not killed during the process of cooking. When does that happen? It happens when you eat raw salads, raw chutney, raw anything that you eat might have some bacteria that has not been, you know, killed, disinfected. So therefore, that can cause a food poisoning. The second is mostly, and I did a lot of work on meats in Iowa a bazillion years ago, where we were looking at beef factories and looking to see where there's most infection. Most infections occur when meat is ground, and even if it's put back together as a patty or something like that, fish that's been sitting for some time, and we don't know how long it has been fish sitting. So those are the kind of things that usually land up giving us trouble. So
what about the temperature of cooking?
Yeah, so the other thing is we don't know how you know, especially when you're traveling, you don't know who's cooked it, how long they've cooked it for. So if the temperature was not high enough, something has been sitting for some time, the bacteria that are there, and you know, these may not necessarily be the typical pathogenic bacteria that you and I talk about or are used to hearing on the news. It may just be a huge bacterial load of the foreign bacteria coming into your intestine and creating chaos, because now a foreign bacteria has come in and your gut bacteria have to fight it off because, you know, it's something different. It may not necessarily cause an illness in a native person, but it will cause illness in you because, first of all, your immunity is also down because of the traveling. You're jet lagged, you're sleep deprived, you're tired. And all these things add up. So therefore, where I'm going with this is try to, if you are a staunch meat eater and you feel that, you know, you have to have your meat and eggs and so on, I would recommend that you get whole pieces of meat, really, you know, cooked well, or which is the safest, which is what we do, is whole food plant-based. So if you get plant-based foods, typically, you know, even if there's less cooking done, you would still not get a pathogenic bacteria in it. The only exception is salads. So other than that, if you go plant-based, especially when you're traveling, your energy levels will be high. You will not feel tired, you'll be safe from bacterial infections.
Yeah, and a lot of people ask, is it safe to eat fresh fruits and vegetables? Yeah. The general rule of thumb is if they have a peel that's been removed, yes, yeah. It is. So an avocado is safe, banana is safe, coconut is safe, mm-hmm. That sort of thing, because they have a big, thick, protective peel that has to be removed before you can eat it. So that's usually, yeah. But, you know, like things like lettuce, tomato, cucumber, that sort of thing, you may want to avoid if you're mm-hmm. not sure about the cleanliness or just your body's not used to the local bacteria. So another plug for having the local probiotics as
well.
Yes,
that's true.
So we were talking about how to eat when you're already there, but we shouldn't, I guess, mentioned how to eat when you're when you're in the process of traveling. So at the train station, the airport, the train, on the plane.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, of course, those are travel places are maybe not the world's healthiest place to eat. They're overpriced, they're expensive. So best thing would be to pack your own food, things that will keep, obviously. So sandwiches, things in...
What do we carry?
So we don't even carry sandwiches. We carry... So for example, especially traveling with kids that always seem to be hungry at random times, we carry nuts. We carry nuts and seeds. We carry healthy chips, so like vegetable chips, soy crisps, that sort of thing. We carry granola bars, if you know, like things like copra,
anything that's dry, and tepla is good.
Anything that's dry and is not going to spoil, basically. You can carry fruit that is not cut, so whole apples, citrus fruits, that sort of thing that will keep, again, that don't need to be refrigerated. And that can be in the immediate, like 6 to 10 hours, I guess. And then after that, maybe won't be as good. Another thing that's good is if you're able to request a meal ahead of time on a plane, we always request the vegan meal or the Asian vegetarian meal, because that way you're at least guaranteed to have some kind of plants involved in your meal. So another thing to consider also is while you're traveling, hydration.
Yes.
You don't realize how dehydrated you get on a long plane flight or a long train ride or even a long car ride. So, Ajoy, for those listening, is showing a hydration backpack. So this is can be used throughout the trip, and we use this all the time. So there's a bladder full of water, 2.5 liters of water in here. And again, depending on the airport, you may have to empty it, but we always refill it right after security. So this, in addition to the water, there's also his usual backpack things inside here. But this is very convenient. Of course, you can bring a refillable water bottle, set an alarm on your watch or your phone, or even just try to remember every hour, have some water, have some hydration. Even if you don't feel thirsty, you really are getting dehydrated.
In the aircraft.
In the aircraft or the train or the car, wherever you're traveling, staying hydrated protects your immunity. It protects you from passing out. It makes sure you hydrated so you don't get a urinary tract infection. You don't get constipated, et cetera. And also these backpacks are available for children. So assuming they can carry the weight on their backs, which really is not that much. It's great. They don't, and our kids at least think it's fun. We're walking around a hot city like Athens, walking like 11 kilometers a day. We don't have to stop every 5 minutes to buy them a water bottle. They have their water bottles on their backs. And again, it keeps their immunity up as well. So also when you're flying or having a long travel duration, a glass or maybe just a glass of alcohol is fine, but we wouldn't recommend anything beyond that. Again, alcohol is dehydrating. And it just contributes to the already higher risk of dehydration while sitting in a plane for several hours.
Caffeine
is the same. Again, in moderation is fine. I've read in several places that the ideal drink other than water on a plane is actually ginger ale because of the ginger helps prevent nausea and it's not overly sweet. So ginger ale is a good option if you want something non-water on a flight.
Lemon is a...
Yeah, and you can also carry, actually, another option is little oral rehydration solution, ORS packets or electrolyte packets. If your children or yourself don't like plain water, you can just dump the packets in your bladder or in your water bottle, and it'll make it more interesting. So you'll stay hydrated. And so on the subject of airplane travel, always, if you have an infant, remember, or even a young child, that it's difficult for them to equalize the pressure between their nose and ear eustachian tube with the change in air pressure. So with the ascent and descent, they should be, in an infant's case, drinking a bottle or nursing, or in a child's case, drinking something through a straw, ideally, or just the act of swallowing. In older kids and adults, chewing gum will help as well. And that prevents ear pain. If you are going into an airline flight already knowing that you have congestion from allergies or from a cold, you can take an antihistamine or a decongestant 30 minutes before your flight to make sure it's active, and it will prevent the pain, sinus pain and ear pain that you may get. But always talk to your doctor before doing that because each case is different. So on the topic of trying to eat more healthfully while you're traveling, which we'll keep saying this over and over again, will help prevent infection, help you sleep better, and help your overall vacation be enjoyable. Some people worry about, how am I going to find my dietary restrictions while I'm traveling, especially if you're like us, if you try to keep to a whole food plant-based diet in places like France and some parts of Europe, it's very difficult to find.
Greece is an exception.
We've been very happy here getting our plant-based food. But last summer we went to France, and that was quite difficult to find. But most people will accommodate. So a lot of times I'll skip right to the side dishes. You can usually find vegetable side dishes, potato, and make kind of like a tapas. You know, speaking of tapas, even looking at appetizers and side dishes is probably your best bet if the main dish does not fit your dietary needs. So that's a place to look. And then, of course, you can always ask the waiter or waitress. Yeah. And sometimes you'll be surprised. Oh, sure. We get that question all the time. We can make you a plant-based option, and that's not a problem. Another option, which again, we did this trip, is instead of staying at a hotel, stay at an Airbnb or an apartment where you have access to a kitchen so you can cook your own food, and then you're ensured it's meeting your dietary requirements. And often we take that as a good family activity, going to the supermarket, and you learn so much about a culture going to a local supermarket.
and checking out, you know, online these days, you can find any darn recipe you want. So, or you can, you can even ask the waiters. We did that, right? I mean, for Jamista, we asked about the timing and so on and so forth. So they'd be more than happy to tell you about the, you know, the how to cook, because they'll be very proud that, that you're talking about, you know, their food. So they're very happy to give you ideas about how to cook their stuff. All you have to do is go to the grocery store, pick up the stuff. And usually it's not very complex. I mean, it's not, I hate saying this, but Asian cooking, especially Indian cooking, is very complex in comparison. So these things, you get like three ingredients, you know, slap them together and you have a very nice meal, a local meal.
And cost effective too.
And cost effective. And
probably about a quarter of what you pay at a restaurant.
Yeah. And you have a ton of fun making it because, you know, you're looking up recipes and
you have more time because you're on vacation. So you can do that. And also there's an app, again, not affiliated with them in any way, that is my favorite app when traveling. It's called Happy Cow. And most, I mean, we found it in some very obscure areas. It basically looks for three categories, restaurants that are vegetarian and vegan, sorry, restaurants that are vegan friendly, restaurants that can make things vegan if you ask specifically, and another one of just fully vegan. So the restaurant only serves vegan food. They also have vegan grocery stores, vegan food tours in some cities Athens, they have these specific things. So we... just before filming, found a vegan Greek street food restaurant where we had vegan gyros with mushrooms and had delicious
little balls.
Yeah, little tofu meatballs and delicious iced tea with turmeric and ginger. So great for immunity. Yeah. So a lot of times, you know, I'm a fan of looking up restaurants on Google Maps, but Happy Cow is an even better version of that. So if, and a lot of times I'll look it up ahead of time. So you can put in the city you're going to and you can kind of jot down where you want to try. So that's a, and I'm sure there's other apps, but that particular one is the one that we use.
Yeah. Moving on to...
Oh, one more thing. Okay. Sorry. Coffee. So this is something that if you know you're going to a place that may not have plant-based milks, you can bring your own little Tetra Pak.
Yes, we always do that.
We do that all the time, even if we're not sure. So
one of the first things we do is go to a grocery store and pick up one of the small Tetra Paks of
almond milk
or oat milk or something like that. And you just carry, like we typically buy like two or three. And then through the rest of the vacation, we have it with us and we throw it in the fridge wherever we go. And
even carry it with us outside. You could just ask for a black coffee or a black tea and pull out your almond milk and just like a little flask.
Yeah.
So that's a good option. Again, also saves money too.
True. Now that you're traveling, obviously one of the biggest issues that we used to face and now it's become a little less is sleep. You know, your cycles are a little disturbed. You know, you don't get adequate sleep, so you're tired when you wake up, and you know you're not really enjoying your vacation as much. So one of the things that you need to understand, especially if you've gone a few hours away from where your home time zone is to try to reset your clock as much as possible to the local time as soon as you can. One of the first things you should do is set your watch to the local time, because mentally you're immediately starting to prepare yourself for that time. The second thing you should try to do is, if at all possible, try your hardest. And this is a little tricky, I understand, but when there is sunshine, try to stay awake. When the sun is not there, if you're awake or not awake, it's not as crucial. However, obviously try to sleep, you know, when 2-3 o'clock in the morning, don't sit and try to do some work and try to sleep, you know, try to get some sleep. You know, you have various relaxation methods you can use, but try to sleep at that time. But when the sun is out, do not sleep, because if you sleep, then your cycle is, their circadian rhythm never gets in sync with the local time zone, and you're always in your home time zone. So there are aids for that. So one of our favorite things is something you know, a lot of our patients know already, is melatonin. Melatonin follows a circadian rhythm. So in the night, there's more melatonin, and then in the morning, during daytime, there's less melatonin in your body. And that helps keep your cycles in sync with the local time. So if you take melatonin in the night, for example, you increase the melatonin level so you can fall asleep nicely. When you wake up, you're not going to be that groggy person who's taken a sedative. It's very different than a sedative. It follows the natural rhythm. So therefore, when you wake up, there is absolutely no no grogginess or ill effects.
It basically tricks your body into going into the proper melatonin cycle of that time zone. Yeah. So it's it's natural. It's safe. It's not habit forming. There's no side effects. Yeah.
And other tricks that we've already talked about in other episodes, I guess, is, for example, you know, the very fact that you're traveling, that means most likely you're tired. So if you're tired, take a shower just before you go to bed, and you will fall asleep much better than just kind of like just getting into bed without taking a shower, or maybe even light exercising might help. Just so that when it is nighttime, you actually go to sleep. And when it's daytime, don't try to be around where it's boring stuff. You know, don't try to be in a hotel room like the way we are right now. Go out so that you have less chances of falling asleep.
And that's kind of flows into like traveling with children. So a trick that we don't have to do so much because our kids are a little older, but for younger children, if you take an overnight flight, it sounds like something you might want to avoid, but actually kids sleep much better on planes than adults do. So yes, you may not sleep well, but your kids will most likely get at least some amount of sleep on the flight. And if they sleep on the flight, you arrive during the day, and it's easier to distract them and stay awake throughout the day so that you can follow the proper cycle.
And also, I want to add that a lot of times, in fact, our kids are also guilty of this, which is they are constantly on the screen, especially on international flights, because there's a long flight, long-haul flight. So try to anticipate what it's going to be when you get there. I mean, it's very easy if it says that, oh, it's going to be morning. So try to minimize their screen time when they should sleep, so that by the time you land, it's daytime. So, you know, maybe encourage them to have a glass of water or juice or something, and then they're slightly more awake. So try to encourage them to have water, juice, something that, you know, start making them feel a little bit more awake, so that by the time you're landing, they're ready to go, rather than, you know, you have to drag them out and so on.
Yeah, have them turn off the screen or turn off the back of the seat screen, and try to follow roughly kind of your normal bedtime routine. Yeah. Have them brush their teeth on the flight. Yeah. You can even bring pajamas for them to wear, and it just helps keeping a routine, because little kids especially are like creatures of habit, creatures of routine. But once you get there, exactly, don't go straight to the hotel room. Everyone's going to fall asleep. Go take a walk around the city. Go to an exciting restaurant, visit family and friends if you can. Mm-hmm. But don't beat yourself up if you fall asleep. Yeah. It's not the end of the world, but this just makes it an easier transition. So on the subject of keeping a routine while you're traveling and keeping you healthy while traveling, something that's very important for everyone is exercise. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're not telling you to bring your weights and your jump rope on vacation with you, but we have some alternative solutions.
Well, yes, don't bring your jump rope, don't bring your weights. However, what I have found very helpful are those little rubber bands, exercise bands you can easily carry. If you have an exercise routine, feel free to bring them, because they are very, very useful. I remember when we were hopping Airbnbs and I did not have much weights, or I don't know where my bands were. We would go buy groceries, and I would just buy enough groceries that I could just use those grocery bags. Before we could open the bags, I would do my exercise with those grocery bags. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Or you can use your child.
Yeah, I did that too.
Push-ups. Weightlifting.
So anyway, you know, you can bring pants. If you cannot, don't beat yourself over it, especially because you're traveling. You're bound to walk more, you're bound to exercise, you know, get more activity in you. Our kids love it. Make sure you have good shoes. Just walk around. Places are very...
We already mentioned, we for the most part, don't do formal exercise while vacationing, just because we're, you know, trying to relax. But if exercising for you is relaxing, going for a jog, please continue that. But just walking around a city burns a lot of calories. Walking is one of the best exercises you can do. We were just in a botanical gardens in Crete, in another part of Greece, and it was almost 3 kilometers up and down a mountainside. And there were signs all over touting the benefits of walking. And it's true. I mean, you really can't get any better than that. And it's something that everyone, most people can do.
And something that we should try to add on a routine basis in our daily lives. Something that, you know, we always recommend and we try to do it ourselves is wherever possible, don't take elevators and escalators. Don't take lifts. Don't take escalators. There are always stairs right next to it. Even if it means walking slowly, just walk. And, you know, the best part is I've noticed that when you're walking down those stairs, you have the entire staircase to yourself.
Nobody, you get there first.
Yeah, nobody wants to use it. And then you can walk slower and yet you'll get there before the guys that you are using the escalators get there. So make less use of the walkways. I mean, what are they called? Walking ways? Those.
Yeah, the electric.
The escalator type thing. You know, they
people
make you
movers.
People movers or whatever, and escalators and lifts and.
And walking saves money. I mean, you can, instead of taking an Uber everywhere, instead of taking even public transportation, you can save money. And there's several apps that you can look up for free walking tours, or you can pay for a formal walking tour.
Yeah.
And that's usually the best way to see a place, because you can stop and go in your own pace and take in the culture.
Yeah. If you're staying at a hotel, ask around if they have bike for rent or for free. I remember, you know, we used to do that quite often with the bicycles, just take, you know, rent it out and just go out into the town and check it out.
That,
cities have it too. If
in
you're good in swimming,
kids.
You can do swimming.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, yeah, if you're not doing your formal exercise and all, don't worry too much about it. If you do into, you know, doing your morning exercise or your routine yoga and all, I'm sure you can find a spot for doing that in the morning itself and finishing up before you go on the rest of your holiday.
Our kids love finding a local playground, which again immerses you in the culture, but also gets them some exercise and helps them burn off energy and helps them sleep better at night too. So.
That's right. That's the other thing. I mean, this is especially important for people with kids. Make them get a little tired going to the playground and walking around, and even if they want to run, that's fine. Obviously, in a safe area. Not in these congested little alleyways that, you know, that we find in Greece. But yeah, typically, you know, make them a little tired so that by the time they get back, they're tired enough to go to sleep and, you know, they won't be cranky. That's the word I was looking for.
And finally, as Ajoy said, don't beat yourself up if you're not doing any formal exercise. Remember, in the grand scheme of things, it's 1 week, two weeks, three weeks. It's not going to make or break your overall life and exercise goals.
Yeah.
You'll get, in general, more movement than you do
at home, right?
Mm-hmm. So even that much is beneficial.
And I don't need to repeat myself, which we've done in other podcasts and in our Instagram reels and YouTube videos about the fact, or about the benefits, right? So you can sleep better, your cardiovascular endurance is better, your general health is better, your immunity is boosted, and of course your mental health. So, you know, these things are all helpful, you know, to stay less sick when you're on holiday and ruining your holiday.
So I think we're almost done, but one thing we want to mention, which we've kind of mentioned here and there, is just what to do. Make sure you're prepared what to do in emergency. So we mentioned about medications, especially emergency medications like asthma inhalers, EpiPens, as needed blood pressure medicine, that sort of thing. Make sure you have them with you and you have enough and more. You always may need more.
Yeah.
So make sure you have that with you.
One thing I want to mention is we love it when people come to us just before they are going on a holiday and they ask us, okay, what are the things that we should take? And we give them a compendium of stuff that they can take with them.
We have lists.
We have lists, you know, that we can share.
You can do, even if it's not... we're not your regular doctor.
Yeah.
You can make online appointments with your doctor if that's available.
Yeah.
If you can't physically go, but it's or a phone call, but it's very important to communicate with your doctor.
Yeah, that way you know you're well prepared. If you have prescription medicines, like we were talking about right at the beginning of the podcast, make sure you have all those things in hand, because it's important when you're going to a foreign country that especially in a foreign country where prescription may not be valid or whatever. So you want to make sure. You're carrying that stuff. A word of caution, though, there are certain class of drugs that are prohibited from entering and exiting certain countries, India included. We know about India and the United States in particular. So try not to carry those medicines across borders unless and until you have a valid written typed physical prescription with an original signature of the doctor, with the registration number of the doctor, that you can carry and say, look, I have to take this and I'm going to, get the refill as soon as I land or whatever. Speaking of refills, you want to tell them about the fact that if it's United States, what you can do for them, right? You can give them...
Oh, yes, sorry.
So, you're looking
since at I'm also registered in the United States, if you're one of our patients and you've run out of your medicines or you think you need a... For example, if you think you have a urinary tract infection, you can consult with us online, and I have the ability to call in a prescription anywhere in the United States if needed. So that's just a handy-dandy benefit of me still having my U.S. license.
Yeah.
And, of course, the same is for India as well.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, other countries, we're not there yet.
Yeah. But other countries, we do want to mention that if you're traveling to another country and we may have contacts there, we can put you in touch with those people. And we can
local
help
doctors.
You, local doctor or local person that'll, that knows their way around. So we have enough resources in, I would say, a bunch of countries that we can point you to and say, okay, you know what, if in an emergency, obviously you can call us, or, if you're not a regular patient, obviously you can call your family doctor. But if you are, you can, do a teleconference, and we just did a teleconsult a minute ago. You can, you can at least get the another person who may not be a doctor locally that can help you get to the hospital, God forbid, or just, get by medicines or whatever it is.
Along
whatever it is.
Those lines, always make sure you know the local phone
emergency phone numbers.
100 in India.
100
right?
India.
911 in the U.S. Also a local hospital. So wherever you're staying, you should know where the closest local hospital is, the closest local chemist or pharmacy is. Those are all important things to know. If, again, God forbid, emergency, you don't want to be scrambling around.
Yeah, don't stress about it. Or you just Google it and you'll have it in your hand. So
just write it down or keep it in your notepad. And that's something you can look up before you even land in the location as well.
So I hope we've covered travel. One more.
Almost forgot. So we talked about preparing before travel. We talked about during travel, how to stay healthy. Now, what happens after travel? If you get home and it's been 3-4 days, and suddenly you get sick, illnesses. You're home, so you can see your regular physician, but it's very important to communicate, hey, by the way, I was just in Siberia last week, because that would change the differential diagnosis by a huge amount. Mm-hmm. That's why we always ask, have you recently traveled?
And where?
Because that changes what medicine you may or may not need, what kind of workup you need. So really important to mention that to your doctor. Mm-hmm. But also talking about jet lag, which in most cases is inevitable. Again, melatonin comes into play, keeping your usual routines back, stay awake during sunlight. All of those things ring true for when you first land and where you're traveling to. But suppose, you have an important meeting, then in the next day or two, you have to travel again soon, and you really want to recover faster. Thanks to modern medicine and technology, there's IVs you can get that can boost your immunity, can give you back your electrolytes. Can rehydrate you, which will make you
And put your cycle back to
And put your circadian rhythm back to the way that it should be for your home, for your local
time zone
exactly. So those are services that we, amongst others, provide, and that's something to consider as well. If you're having trouble, sometimes we've noticed coming back, at least for me, I've noticed it's harder to adjust to coming back than when you're traveling there, maybe because of just the adrenaline and excitement of being in a new location. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's something to think about too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So basically we can help you hopefully every step of the way.
Yeah. So hopefully we've given you enough information that can help you with the, I don't know, a bunch of, I don't know how many tips we gave, but we've not kept track. We just kept giving whatever
just
information.
Rambling like we usually do.
Yeah, whatever information we have and what we practice on a day-to-day basis whenever we're traveling. So until next time.
Until next time, yamas.
Yamas.
See you next time. Enjoy your travels. Yeah.
And we promise to get back to our podcasting more frequently.
Yes. We really hope you enjoyed our conversation. Can you think about one thing or an idea that you can start to introduce into your own life that will help make your life healthier and less stressful?
If you enjoyed today's episode, we'd really appreciate it if you can take a few seconds to share the podcast with your friends and family. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week.
And always remember, your health is literally in your own hands. Making lifestyle changes is not an easy task, but we promise you will be aptly rewarded with a long, healthy, and disease-free life.